Canto 30. 6,000 long miles eastward, it is noon. Here, night is ending. The earth's shadow lies level in bed, and in the mid-sky, soon, deep up above us, to our searching eyes, a change will come. The odd star disappears. The handmaid of the sun approaches. One by one, the sky's lights shut down as she nears, even the loveliest, and it is done. The new day dawns. Exactly in that wise, the triumph that has always been at play around that point, and will be, though time flies forever, the pure point that took away my senses and which, to the reeling mind, includes that which includes it, bit by bit, retreated from my sight. So, being blind and full of love, there was no help for it. I turned my eyes to her. If all I've said of Beatrice up to now were gathered in one song of praise, it would be left for dead by this task. I scarce know how to begin. Not only is the beauty that I saw beyond our measures, but I do believe only its maker can express the store of joy in it. For me, I can't conceive the first phrase, and I must admit defeat. Comic or tragic, poet never met a point in any theme he chose to treat more dizzying, for as weak sight is set wavering by the sun, the memory of that sweet smile undoes my mind. In all the time from that first day I came to see her face in life to this incredible moment of seeing her again, my song has gone on, but from now I must desist from singing of the beauty that so long has drawn my verse, unable to resist, through many cantos, since the point must come for any artist when his powers give out. Therefore I leave her to a mightier sum of heraldry than mine. The final shout of my poor trumpet falters and falls dumb as its hard theme comes winding to an end. With voice and bearing of a patient guide whose work is done, no hard way left to wend, she said, "We have come through to the far side of heaven's largest realm, to which you lend the name of Primum Mobile, and here we rise into a heaven of pure light, of intellectual light, light full of sheer, pure love, love full of goodness true and right, love full of joy, joy so sweet as to shame all other sweet things else. Here you will know by sight the holy soldiers that you name angels and saints, and those saints will be so as they were in their lives, and thus be the same as they will be when you see them again at the last judgment." Thus, exactly as our visual spirits are soon scattered, when a bolt of lightning strikes, because it has such power, our power to see it is outrun, and even the clearest objects lose their place, just so a vivid fiery light was spun around me, like a veil that made all space invisible to me, with every one of its particulars eclipsed. "The love that calms this heaven," she continued, "will always so welcome one who comes above, preparing the cold candle thus to fill its cusp with flame." When these brief words arrived in my mind, I was instantly aware of powers within me that had never thrived so much or so far risen through the air. New powers of vision, such that there could be no light, however strongly brought to bear, my eyes could not have borne. And suddenly, I saw light with a river's form that poured its splendor in between two banks bedecked with all the colors our spring days afford, a marvelous spring, the one you might expect. Except this living flood sent sparks abroad to settle on the flowers of either bank like rubies set in gold, as if their heads were dizzy from the perfumes that they drank. They rose again out of the flower beds and plunged back, scintillating rank on rank, into the stream to be replaced by more that soared from the same ripples where they sank, and so it all continued as before. "The high desire," she said, "that flames within your mind to know just what is happening, delights me more the more it swells to win more space to burn. But now to the first thing you need to do before you can begin to slake your great thirst. First you have to drink from that stream. Thus the sun who ruled my eyes addressed me and continued, "Look and think. The river and the topazes that rise and fly from it and then return to sink, and how the flowers laugh are the forecast and shadow of the truth. They don't fall short of being perfect. It is you, at last, that has the defect. Still less than it ought to be, your vision is outmatched as yet. No infant that has slept too long could throw itself so suddenly, its sure aim set, towards the milk, as I, who thirsted so to make of my eyes better mirrors still, bent down to where I saw the waters flow, with all the sparkling interchange they spill for our perfecting. When my eyelids' eaves were wet, it seemed that instantly the stream transformed its length to roundness. What deceives, reveals, once done away with, how a dream holds more than we had thought, as people who, having worn masks, when they remove them seem not quite the same as those we thought we knew. For me the sparks and flowers now had changed into a greater festival, in which both courts of heaven clearly stood arranged. Splendor of God, that let me see the rich, high triumph of truth's kingdom, help me tell of what I saw. There is a light that spreads, so wide that its circumference would fall well outside the girdle of the sun. It sheds the sight of their Creator, as He is, on all whose peace depends on seeing Him, for He is with them all, and they are His. And all the flood of light within that rim is made by no more than a single ray, reflected from, with all its wealth and force, the summit of the Primum Mobile. And as a hillside looks down to a course of water at its foot and sees itself, adorned with its spring flowers and its green grass, exactly pictured in that mirrored shelf, I saw above this light one tier surpass another for 1,000 tiers. And there were all of us who ever have returned on high. And if the lowest level's share of incandescence that within it burned was so great, what could be the full extent of this rose in its furthest petals? Here the breadth and length did not exhaust my glance, since there was no increase from being near or loss from being far in this extent and quality of joy. For where God's law directly rules His unmixed element, the law of nature can apply no more. Into the yellow everlasting rose, rising and spreading in its serried ranks, exhaling heady perfumes that disclose praise to the sun, extending its deep thanks for a perpetual spring, Beatrice drew me, as one who, silent, still would speak. "Behold," she said, how great the company of these white robes. See, see now, and be told how great the city. See our seats so filled that few souls are still lacking. And in that great chair on which your eyes are held and stilled, by the crown poised over it, there will be sat, before you come to join the nuptial feast, the soul of Henry, who shall be below made emperor, to get Italy released from her wrong course. But she will be too slow to heed him. Ah, too soon deceased, your one hope and the hopes of your fair land, for your blind greed will only be increased, driving the Guelphs to take their senseless stand and break his noble heart. Greed makes you like the hungry infant who drives out his nurse. For at that time a two-faced pope will strike with his forked tongue. Yes, Clement, who will curse Henry in secret while he speaks aloud in praise of him. God will not suffer long that pope in office. Mantled in a shroud, he will go down to share the prize for wrong with Simon Magus. A still deeper place awaits his predecessor, Boniface.